Did you know that Dr. Danny Purvis has another podcast called Growth Project Radio? Stick around. You're about to hear a clip from our most recent episode discussing the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6.
But let's, where are we? We've got about 8 minutes left. So let's...
Well, we started late, so we
Yeah, we did.
More.
We could actually, we got a little bit of flexibility there, don't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, definitely. I don't want to miss anything good if we don't have to.
Yeah, yeah. Let's
I got an announcement for a special guest next week, so make sure y'all stay tuned for that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I forgot about that.
I'll do it at the end. I'll give them something to look for. We call that in the business a tease.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right. Well, I'll learn something new.
That's your teaser.
But verse 14, let's go through these parts of the armor of God.
Okay.
Okay. And let's talk about what they may mean and even what they may not mean. Therefore, having girded your waist with truth. Okay. So the idea here is during that time period and going into battle, one of the first things that a warrior would put on before they put on the armor was a tunic. Mm-hmm. Okay. And here's the problem, because all the fighting obviously back then was hand to hand. There's no shooting from 10 miles away and, you know, launching missiles. It was all hand to hand. The looser the tunic, the more likely it was to stop you from being able to fight effectively.
That makes
sense. Does that make any sense?
You trip
anything
over
that
it
was dangling, it could mess up the way you're moving, things get caught. And what are we supposed to gird ourselves with here? So that's the picture. Okay. We're supposed to gird ourselves with truth. That's the thing that has to be tightly wrapped around us.
Okay, so girding is like when they tie up.
One of the first things they did before they put anything else on is somebody would take that tunic and pull it really tightly. If you've ever seen the movie The Last Samurai, there's a great scene. Actually, I think it probably could be used to illustrate this.
Wow.
That one of the first things he puts on is a tunic, like a robe-looking thing. And as he's putting it on, they put it on very snug. They tuck that inside in, and they pull it around, and it's pulled around on the tight and tied tightly. Mm-hmm. The idea so that it doesn't hang off of you, because the opposite of truth is untruth. Mm-hmm. And the more truth hangs off of us, the more untruth is going to be able to slip in there and keep us from being able to gird ourselves
nice.
Like that. So it's a great picture. Yeah. All of these are great pictures. So the truth is something that needs to be wrapped tightly around us, because any gaps in truth are going to be, look, every void wants to be filled. Mm-hmm. That's just the nature of voids. And if you have a void, if you have a space in truth, then untruth is going to fill it. There's no other option for that. So the idea here is that we put that on tightly and put the truth on tightly so that we can begin the process of moving forward. And then next in chapter 14, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, I really like this one. This is really cool. Obviously, we know what a breastplate is. In that time, the Roman soldiers used metal breastplates, probably for Jewish people at that time, Jewish warriors at that time, probably not metal, more the thick leather that a lot of times they put bone in. Anything that could be put on there that's really difficult to penetrate. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, if it's a breastplate, then what is it protecting?
Our heart.
It is protecting our heart. All of our internal organs, but more specifically, more than anything else, it's our heart. Mm-hmm. And so what is it that God is saying that we need to protect our heart? It's righteousness.
Righteousness,
right? So righteousness is the breastplate that we have that protects our heart. Mm-hmm. Now, I know what a lot of people will think when they hear me say that. I need to go out and start being more righteous. Mm. I need to go out and be righteous. I got to practice this righteous stuff. I need to do this righteous stuff in order for this. No, no, no. The scripture makes it very clear where that righteousness comes from. Mm-hmm. And it does not come from us. It does not come from our actions.
Connie said Spanx.
It does
Spanx.
Yeah,
girding your loins. Put on your Spanx.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And so, you know, this is not a command to go out and be righteous. Mm-hmm. It's to understand that we have that righteousness, not because of anything that we've done, but because of everything that he has done. Mm. Romans chapter 3, right? Mm-hmm. One of my absolute favorite chapters in all of scripture. The righteousness that belongs to Christ, that rightfully belongs to him, is placed on those who believe. Mm-hmm. That means righteousness that we didn't earn, we didn't work for, we could not be good enough for.
Amen.
Nothing we can do. It is given to us the moment that we come to faith in Christ. Mm-hmm. And that's the righteousness we need to protect our heart. I think that is absolutely a great picture and fascinating. And now that doesn't mean, you know, you don't practice the spiritual disciplines and all that kind of stuff. That's not what that passage means. That's not what I'm trying to say. But even the righteousness that we have that protects our heart is not ours. Mm. It's Christ who God placed on us when he adopted us as sons. So we are now co-equal heirs. what the scripture says. We are co-heirs with Christ because of that righteousness.
Amen.
And that is the thing that protects our heart. How cool is that?
That
right?
is cool.
It is amazing
stuff. That protects your heart.
Your heart. That's like exactly that. Right, which is exactly what it is designed to do. Okay, where are we? Oh, this one, I got a personal story about this one.
Shoes?
Yeah. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel.
Does that have something to do with Vans?
Of peace.
Custom Spider-Man Vans?
It has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with my last, in the Marine Corps, and most people are not going to care about this, but in the Marine Corps, there are two different types of jobs. I mean, there are a lot of specific jobs, but overall, two types of jobs you can have. You can have an FMF job, which is a Fleet Marine Force. These are the guys that deploy. They're the trigger pullers. They're the combat guys and the support guys. And then you have non-FMF jobs, okay? Mm-hmm. And so my last job with an FMF unit, it was an engineering unit in Camp Lejeune in North Carolina. And we were getting ready to go to Afghanistan. And so one of the last things that we did before we went was we call it a hump, but it's a force march. And so you put all your gear on. And you know, I was a chaplain, so I didn't have to carry a weapon. So that was pretty good. So there were a lot of stuff I didn't have. Mine was a little lighter. Mine was probably only about, I don't know, 45 pounds or something like that. But anyway, you put your pack on and you march because that's what military units do. Mm-hmm. and so it was a pretty good hump. We were out for a while, and it had been a long time since I've been with FMF, and so I had forgotten that if your feet are messed up, then you're going to have a hard time being in the fight. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I always knew that up here. When I did my first FMF unit, I was always very careful to wrap my feet with what's called moleskin. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that kind of stuff, but I would wrap my feet in the areas. Anyway, I didn't do that this time because I had forgotten about moleskin and I had forgotten about what kind of damage this could do to my feet. By the time I was done with that hump, my feet were bleeding through my boots.
Oof.
Bleeding through. You could see the blood coming through my combat boots.
Ugh.
Because my feet were that messed up. And I was incapacitated. I finished it, though. There was no way I was quitting. Kimberly asked me one time, why didn't you stop, get in the vehicle and drive back? I said, they'd have had to cut my feet off before I did. I was not quitting. And I didn't. I finished the hump, and I paid for it. I was really out of commission probably for about 3 weeks.
Wow.
After that, waiting for that, because I would get these blisters, they would break and they would come open and they would rip the skin off, and I had blood pouring through my boots. And so I came to understand that if your feet are not adequately protected, then you are not going to be engaged in the fight.
Mm.
And what are our feet shod with here? With the gospel.
Readiness of the gospel.
It's the gospel.
Peace.
Exactly. Given by the gospel of peace. We are supposed to have in order for us to be able to do what we're going to have to do, we have to have the gospel.
Mm.
If we do not have the gospel, we are as useless as any soldier whose feet have been ravaged by something in order to keep us from being engaged in the fight.
Good illustration.
I mean, was a painful one. Wow. You know, I still remember it.
Where's this thing out? There you go. There we go.
Great
illustration, Danny.
Still have not gotten rid of those things yet. But it really did. It reminded, as I go back and read this, I'm reminded about how ineffective I was. I was not a part of the fight because my feet were in terrible shape, horrible shape. If we don't have the gospel, we are in terrible shape. We're in horrible shape, and we cannot engage in the fight.
Mm.
Not with other people, but in the spiritual battle that we are supposed to fight. And so isn't it interesting that it's the gospel that is supposed to cover our feet so that we will be able to do what God has told us to do.
That was a great illustration.
Yeah. It was a painful illustration. So that was verse 15. So then we go to, we've had the feet shod with the gospel of peace, above all taking the next one in verse 16, above all taking the shield of faith, which will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Again, making sure we understand the fiery darts aren't coming from people.
Mm-hmm.
They are the instruments.
It's the thing behind the people.
That's exactly right. They're the instruments. They're the weapon, but they're not the source of the fiery darts. And the idea of faith being the thing that would keep us from being able to get attacked, from being attacked by Satan, is this idea of faith, of understanding who he really is and understanding that we are his. You know, He who has the Son has life. Mm. He who does not have the Son does not have life. Mm. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God that you might know that you have eternal life. Satan is going to use every fiery dart at his disposal to get us to question that.
Amen.
He is going to get us to question our usefulness. He's going to get us to question our salvation. Mm. He's going to get, and faith, that's why I love this. Faith, especially tied with the next one that's coming up here, is essential for quenching those darts, essential for having them bounce off of us, not get to us, not affect any part of our lives because of faith. And again, the faith, we have to go out there and get more faith? No, because Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 tell us where the faith comes from. Mm-hmm. Your faith comes from God in the first place. Mm-hmm. He's the one that gives us this stuff. We don't have to go out and work harder for it. He's already given it to us. Mm. And I know we're running out of town, so I want to make sure we get to the next one here, because I think these two are right next to each other for a reason. In verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation. I love the fact that salvation is once again tied to our brain and not to our feelings. Mm. We have, unfortunately, had way, way too many people out there and way too many churches that emphasize the emotional aspect of salvation. Look, are emotions attached to salvation? Mm. Absolutely, yes. They are. Some of the grandest, most amazing emotions you will ever experience in your entire life can be in understanding what God has done for me. I get overwhelmed emotionally a lot of times with understanding that. Mm. When I read his word and I understand that I don't deserve any of this, I deserve the exact opposite. I was his enemy. All of these, I hated God. I didn't do what he wanted me to do. All of that stuff. And yet he saved me anyway. That is a very emotional thing. But I do not know that I am saved because of the way I feel about it. Mm-hmm. Feelings have nothing do with the, as being an arbiter to the veracity of the truth claim.
Feelings.
It's not, but yeah.
Nothing more than
feelings. Are great. I love them. They're wonderful. But they are not arbiters of the truth.
Right.
Because sometimes I don't feel saved.
Mm-hmm.
I don't.
True.
I don't feel saved. Sometimes I feel like he's a million miles away from me. But the scripture says that he's always with me.
Yeah.
That he'll never leave me, never forsake me. What am I going to believe? Am I going to believe my feelings or am I going to believe God's word? Isn't it amazing that again, once again, we see just like in Romans 12, right? Mm-hmm. Do not be conform to this world, but be transformed by what?
The renewing of your mind.
Not the feelings of your heart. Because feelings are funny things. They come and go. They ebb and flow.
Yes.
They depend almost exclusively on external stimuli, mm-hmm. by the way, on what's happening around me. Now, peace, that's different. That's a whole different thing. I would rather have peace than have happiness any day of the week. Because peace transcends emotions. I can be the most miserable guy in the world, have the most horrible things happen to me, and still have peace. Mm. So, this idea that the helmet of salvation protects our brain because we have to know that God is with us, not feel it, not think it, not any of those other things, because every single one of us have had those moments, every single one of us, no matter how long you've been a believer, no matter how much you love God, no matter how much you know his word or have read his word, every single one of us has had those moments where we've been lying in that bed by ourselves, the middle of the night, eyes wide open. Is he really there?
Mm.
Does he really love me? Would he really save me? Mm. We have all had those moments.
Absolutely.
Because that's the way we feel at the time. Mm. The guy's not worried about feelings. He wants us to understand that our salvation is based on our understanding and faith, that we the previous one, the shield of faith, that we understand that this is what God has done for us, not that we feel like what he has done for us. And so I think this is absolutely
extraordinary. That's great.
It is. It is good stuff. And then we move over to... is this the last
sword.
One?
Sword.
Yeah, the sword of the Spirit, the only offensive weapon, which is the word of God. Not using it as a bludgeon, not using it to hammer people over the head, but it is the only offensive tool that we are supposed to use against
the enemy.
Spiritual enemies, right? I am completely, the perfect example of this, Matthew chapter 4, Jesus in the wilderness being tempted by Satan.
Mm-hmm.
Every single time Satan tempted him,
quote scripture.
He quoted scripture.
That's right.
Even when Satan misquoted scripture.
Yep.
Satan quoted scripture himself.
Yep.
And misused it. And he didn't say, oh, you're not right. Or you're not wrong about that. I mean, you're right about that. We have to, you know, he didn't engage in a theological. He just came back with more scripture.
Mm.
The only thing he used as an offensive weapon against that temptation was scripture over and over and over again. And that is what we're supposed to do. That's why we're supposed to know God's word. Mm-hmm. That's why we are supposed to read God's word. Not to check blocks, not to be able to say, I finished this book, not to be able to say, I finished it in 90 days, not to be able to say any of those things, But to be able to use that against the weapons that Satan is going to use against us using other people. We've got to know his word. If we don't know his word, the only offensive weapon we have is gone. It is gone. And that's not what it was designed to be. So this is just really cool stuff. I wish we had a lot more time to talk about this, but I will say going through Ephesians has been an absolute blast. I hope people are seeing how alive this is. It still gets beyond me sometimes how people will read this stuff, and that was 2,000 years ago, and that was 3,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago. My goodness, it's just more relevant now than probably it has ever been. And that's why we do this. That's why we pick these books and we go through them, and then we'll do something a little different, than we always come back to doing God's Word again, because that's... It's the sword.
It is.
And you got to sharpen the sword.
And we're here for you. If you need us, you can send us questions via Facebook. You can find us on Facebook at Growth Project US is the best way to find us there. You can email connect@growthproject.org is the best way. They come to me. If it's for Danny, I'll forward it to him. He has an email, danny@growthproject.org, but I don't know if he even knows how to check it.
Well, I think I figured out how to forward it to my regular email.
Okay, good.
So I think it'll actually come to
good.
Me.
Good. So Danny,
but if I don't answer you, it's because I didn't see it.
So if you don't hear from him in a reasonable amount of time, go ahead and shoot me the message. Danny,
absolutely.
Thank you so much
for
spending this time with us. Absolutely. And for as we haven't said in a while, if you're not plugged into a local church, please find one near you that's Bible teaching, Bible believing, preferably expository.
Yes.
Not an essential thing, but very helpful if they're going word for word. And if you can't find one, reach out to us. We have the resources and tools to help you find one.
And if you're in the beautiful Central Florida area.
Yeah, that's where I was going. If you're in the, I almost forgot. Yes. If you're in the beautiful Central Florida area, you can visit us. We're over by Melbourne, in between Melbourne and St. Cloud. And next week, we have a special guest. We have Dr. Mike Chandler. He's coming on. He's going to be in my, well, I don't know if he'll be in my seat, but he'll actually be in studio.
I can't switch seats now.
So okay. Yeah, he'll be here. Hopefully, he'll figure out all the knobs and stuff that I deal with.
Well, he'll be fine.
Gage will be doing that. He'll be here. He'll be discussing his adoption. He's also, he has a website, YouTube channel, a social media thing called Two in a Zoo, which has tens of thousands of followers.
It's very cool.
Very cool. Yeah. So
we're going to talk to him about that whole adoption thing.
About his adoption and how it relates to Scripture and our adoption as believers.
Yeah, he just got finished writing a book, so we'll talk a little bit
about
that.
His book as well.
Mike's a good guy, so I'm looking forward to having him.
Yeah, so please come back next week and tune in. Until then, we will see you, I'll see you in 2 weeks.
Two weeks.
Danny will see you next week. Yes.